For today, Matthew 16, 24 and 25. So if you have your Bible with you, I encourage you to turn there. We're going to go through a lot of different scripture today, but this is going to be the focal passage. But we're going to read a lot of different scripture to support this passage today, where we're going to discover what it means, which I'm sure all of you have already read this and have learned this, but sometimes it's good that we have reminders to what it means to be a true disciple. What it means to understand and know and perform true discipleship. So we're going to look at those two verses now. So out of reverence for God's word, if you stand as we read these two verses, Matthew 16, verse 24 and 25. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. You may be seated, and may God add a blessing to the remainder of this service. In these verses alone, Jesus gives the clearest presentation. Really, just in verse 24 alone, he gives the clearest presentation of discipleship. And if we can apply verse 24... verse 24 to our lives, and we think about this verse daily, you really have no choice but to be a true disciple. If you've called upon the name of God to save you, if you focus on verse 24 and you really read it and you allow it to penetrate your heart, permeate your heart, then you will have the key ingredients to be a true disciple. And so, these are really laws in a sense. And so we're going to learn, we're going to focus on these three specific laws within this one verse on what you and I can do to obtain true discipleship. One great thing about serving Jesus Christ is that the cost is exceeded only by its reward. And you know, a lot of times here in the age in which we live, we're looking for rewards current. We want that reward immediately. We want that attaboy, that pat on the back as soon as we've already done something, or maybe before we've even got started doing a job or completing a job, we're ready for our reward. We're ready to be thanked, clapped for. But in serving God, we may not see the reward while we're here on earth. We may not be able to obtain the reward until we reach glory. That is the ultimate reward. And we're going to study today as well. We're going to focus on the laws of obtaining true discipleship. But also we're going to see today that if we do exactly as God asks us to do, he has some rewards for us. Of course, if you think about it, the reward in itself is just to be at the feet of Jesus. That's the greatest part of it all. But we serve a wonderful God who's so thoughtful, who knows that we like rewards, who knows that we like gifts, but we know that we've already received the greatest gift of all, that free gift of life eternal, but we are going to be able to receive crowns of righteousness. We're going to study that today as well, and you obtain those crowns as you walk the walk and talk the talk of being a true disciple. So how do we get there? I want to read one verse to you today. You don't have to turn to this verse, but there's others we will turn to. Acts 14, 22 says, this is very important for you and for me as a church, as the body of Christ. Acts 14, 22 says, strengthening the souls of the disciples, that is us. It is our responsibility to strengthen the souls of the disciples. You know, when you think of the word disciple, you think of those 12 that followed Jesus Christ. Well, we know that those 12 are no longer with us. It is us. We are the disciples, so we are to strengthen the souls of one another, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Now, this is important, to continue in the faith. There's not one person sitting here today who has probably failed in their Christian walk that they didn't know if they could continue or not, or that they maybe failed as if their faith had begun to waver, and that is natural. That's a natural response to trials and tribulation, from a fleshly response rather, but from a spiritual response, that is not natural. Being of God is not natural. We are naturally sinners. We're born to sin, just as Brother Mark shared this morning in our devotion in a morning assembly. Just as that worm starts out in the core of that apple because it's on the blossom as that apple begins to grow. That worm is already there. That sin is already there. So when you're born as a beautiful baby, that sin is already there. It is innate. There's nothing you can do about it to get rid of it until you learn the importance of calling upon the name of the true living God, where He can cleanse you of those sins. He can cleanse you of those unrighteous failures. Doesn't mean that you won't fail again, but the good thing to know is that you are covered and washed by that grace and mercy of love, that you can continually come to the well that never runs dry, and He will continually forgive you of your sins and transgressions. And so, as Christians, it is important to strengthen one another. As disciples, it is important to strengthen one another, and that we must always exhort one another in faith. And by doing so means that you have to step out of your comfort zone sometimes. It means that you have to maybe minister to people or groups of people in which you may not normally minister to or talk with. What do you do about that? Where do you get your strength from? And you get your strength, we know, from the Lord. So now we're going to be back in Matthew 16. Now we're going to look at verse 24. Those three laws of discipleship are in that very first verse that we read together. The first one is the law of self-denial. The second is the law of sacrifice. And the third is the law of submission. I think a lot of times, if you were to pick and choose of those three, which one would be the easiest for you to do, I think initially that self-denial off the bat is pretty hard to do. I mean, how many of you, when you wake up in the morning, immediately think about yourself and what all you got to do for that day? And that's normal. But our goal as Christians, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, is to not think about ourselves, but to think about others. And more important than that is to think about the Lord Jesus Christ from the very beginning of the time that you put your feet on the floor. And you're to take up your cross daily. And you are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what He's telling us here. So self-denial, sacrifice, and then submission. I think for me, personally, I would believe that number three could also be a very difficult one as well. That's that word submit. You know, oftentimes, and I probably have shared this with you before, the word submit in men's minds a lot of times, and even in a woman's eyes and mind, I guess, would be the same. We think of submit, we think of weak. We think of someone who is poor, someone who is needy, someone who can't provide for themselves, who are always in need of assistance. Well, that's really us as Christians. We're in need of assistance. And you can't say that you're not in need of assistance each and every day. And that assistance that you have, if you recall, is the helper. That helper that the Lord said would come when He ascended back to His throne on high. That is our assistance, the Holy Spirit, the helper. And so, yes, we are in need of submission. And so I want to focus on those three things today and let us understand and know why we must meet these three laws head on so that we can be made the disciple that God needs us to be. So as we said, that first law is the law of self-denial. So if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians 4 and maybe keep your finger or mark your Bible in Matthew, because we're going to go back to a couple of chapters in Matthew as well. But right now, look at 2 Corinthians 4, just verses 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians 4, 10 and 11. And these two verses here really support the importance of self-denial, meaning that we need to deny ourselves. So 2 Corinthians 4, 10 and 11, it reads, "Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus." Now, how many of you do that? Do you think about the dying body of the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day when you wake up? And you probably don't. I don't. Not every day. Not immediately when I wake up do I think about Jesus on the cross. But we are to carry this with us every day as a constant reminder. It says that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. And it goes on to say in verse 11, "For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." How important is that God's immaculate plan was so that the love of Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus Christ, the examples that he lived could literally be upon our bodies, can be engraved on our hearts. And so that's why we must think about the dying body of the Lord Jesus Christ and what his body represented. And then we know that we rejoice in the manifestation of his body, because as his body manifested itself back into its rightful place, which is that throne on high. And so for us, for you and for me, so when we believe these words and we apply them to our hearts, one day we can experience this exact same thing in which we're reading here, that manifestation, that this mortal body that we have will one day become a spiritual body that will reside in heaven. Jesus clearly communicates that part of following him is to deny yourself. And you know, once again, that goes back to, I think, pride sometimes. That goes back to not being willing to recognize that you can't do everything on your own, that you need to deny yourself of some of the worldly things in life and realize that you needed to devote yourself to Christ. Not saying that you can't enjoy things of this world, but when those things of this world have taken over your mind thought, your mindset, I guess you say, and your thinking from the world to thinking to God, then that's where the problem lies. And so we must deny ourselves and devote ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul here within 2 Corinthians was very specific about his call to the Ephesian Christians, as who he was speaking with. And he told them to deny their old selves, which had been corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to embrace their new selves. And you think about that. You know, we don't want to really admit that we have deceit within our lives, but we do. Just as I mentioned earlier, as a newborn baby, there's deceit already in that little baby. It is innate. It is there. It is natural to be there. But we can get rid of the old self, and we can find that new self. And the only way that you can find your new self is through the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Ephesians 4, 21 through 24, if you turn there, please, and follow along. This speaks highly of our old self and our new self. Ephesians 4, 21 through 24. Verse 21 says, "If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversations the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." That's pretty powerful to think about, that all of those old failures, those old sins, and those old transgressions can be completely washed away and you start over brand new. And that's just not when you go through the symbolism of the baptism. That old and new takes place as soon as you accept the Lord Jesus Christ. That baptism is the symbolism of what we do in our faith, that profession of faith and letting others know. But the good thing is with this old and new, that every day that God gives you, you start over brand new each and every day. And he allows you to submit your sins to him and allow him to cleanse you of those unrighteousnesses once again. And you can continually start over. Now you are no longer that old body any longer, but you still are committing sins. But at the same time, you realize and you do know that there is newness in life because of Jesus. And you experience that newness of life every single day. But what do you need to do is you must remember to deny yourself and take up your cross and carry it for the Lord Jesus Christ and for others. Romans 6, 4 says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." When you get up every morning, you're walking in newness of life. If you have surrendered your heart and your soul, your all to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're experiencing that newness daily. And then as a true disciple, you are to share that newness. You are to share to other individuals what it means to experience the newness in life through Christ. when we put off the old, and we are really then now rejecting our former way of life. And you know, for some, you may think, well, you know, I wasn't living a terrible life. I wasn't living a bad life. And maybe you weren't. Maybe you were. But it doesn't matter, because none of us are righteous without the bloodshed on Calvary. None of us are good. There's only one who is good, and that is our Heavenly Father. And so no matter how you may have considered your life prior to accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you still were not worthy of the Lamb until you called upon His saving grace. So we reject our former way of life and its corruption and all that it entails. The language that we have just read here in Ephesians suggests to me that we have a choice. And that is correct. You have a choice. You have a choice whether or not you wanted to be here today or not. Or maybe as a child, maybe you didn't have the choice of whether or not you were supposed to be here, but you had to be here because your parents said so. But all in all, as we grow, we are in control of our lives. We are in control of our eternal destination. God has already put forth the plan. The plan has been set forth. It's been offered. That sacrifice has already been given, but do you accept it? And that's what it's all about, is being that true disciple by immediately understanding and knowing that you must deny yourself to begin the process of true discipleship. All believers can and should participate in the process of putting off the old and putting on the new. But the outcome, I would say, I guess, and the process, it ultimately belongs to God. He is the one who makes it happen, allows for it to happen. You know, I think about this a lot of times. You know, we make that change in our lives. It is God that has made the transformation within our heart, within our lives. It's nothing that we've done. We didn't do anything that transformed God. God is the one who has transformed our lives. So that's why we have to constantly give God the honor, give God the glory for all that He has done. So now we want to move to that second law, law of self-denial. That second law now being the law of sacrifice, meaning take up the cross, take up your cross, and you follow Him. And so I want to ask you this question today, looking at your own personal life. How many of you leave your cross under the bed or stowed away in the closet? How many of you recognize your cross? How many of you take it with you as you walk out the door to school or to work or to wherever you may go? Do you think about that daily? Do you think about the cross? Do you think about what it really represents within your life? And it's easy to get caught up in life, the busyness of life, and not remember what Jesus Christ did for you, that saving grace that He has for you, knowing that He would have done it all over again if He knew you were the only one that He needed to save, that He would go back to that cross once again. But glory to God that doesn't have to happen. He did it once for all people. For all people. We don't know how much longer this earth is going to continue to evolve. We don't know how long life is going to continue to exist on this earth. But as long as it does, that blood shed on Calvary is for all men, women, boys, and girls. As Preacher Joe Stein said on our closing night of revival, whosoever. And are you a whosoever? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. So even though we have made the choice to believe in Jesus, we must also make a choice to daily deny ourselves and take that cross. Easier said than done. Much easier said than done. It's easy to read these words in Matthew 16, verse 24, and understand what it means, but it's very difficult sometimes to put these words into action. If you would look at Matthew 10, verse 32 for a moment. Matthew 10, verse 32. Typically, I know we don't go through a lot of scripture on Sunday morning, but there's a lot here that needs to be shared, and I'd love for you to read it with me as I read it. So Matthew 10, verse 32 says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." That's important. My Bible is not written in red, but you may have a Bible that is written in red. And we know when the words are written in red, we know that that was spoken by Jesus. And so this is the word of Jesus, the word of the Son of God, saying that if you confess me Me capitalized, representing Jesus Christ. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. What a wonderful promise. But you got to confess him. Don't just confess him on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights or Wednesdays whenever you meet with your church folks. You must confess who Jesus Christ is in your life every day, seeking every opportunity. If you really were to be able to go back and examine your day, maybe take an outer body experience per se and look down on your daily walk each and every day and see how your day unfolded, we probably would all be surprised of how many opportunities we missed to confess who Jesus Christ is within our own lives, myself included. Opportunity after opportunity is presented daily. And I can recall times where I knew the opportunity was presented and I said nothing. I did nothing. And I'm going to tell you, that's a burden that you don't want to carry. But you need to be aware of it. When God presents you with an opportunity to confess who he is before other men, before other women, before other boys and other girls, take full advantage of. Now look at verse 33 of this very same chapter. It says, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." So he gives us a very positive statement, letting us know that, hey, if you confess me to be your Lord, your master, I will let my Father in heaven know that you are one of his. You are one of mine. But just the very same as you deny who he is, and you act as if you don't know him or that you don't believe in him, when that day of reckoning comes, he will let his Father know that, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Two contrasts with two totally different outcomes. One will bring great joy, and the other, great demise. Which one do you want to experience? You must deny yourself. You must be able to sacrifice. And then we're going to read in a moment, you must be able to submit by following the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be willing to make a personal sacrifice to be a true disciple. And that's important. Personal sacrifice. There's nothing here at Sand Hill that we as a collective group can do for you. We cannot make the sacrifice for you. You, every individual sitting here today, you have to make the decision on your own, through your mind and through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Do you personally want to make a sacrifice to God? And will you be able to reap the greatest benefit of all, that reward? There may be a cost in your life right now. It may cost you friendships. It may cost you family members. It may cost you a job. It may cost you a raise. It may cost you many different things on this earth. But boy, will that reward truly exceed that cost in eternity. That's something to really think about. I want us to look at our third law. And as we come to the end of the third law, this law of submission, meaning follow me, follow Jesus, taking up your cross and following him daily, we're then going to be able to see those crowns that I mentioned to you earlier. If you adhere to these laws of doing what it takes to be a true disciple, God, as I said, being a gracious and loving God, he's got another benefit to following him. The law of submission. Your heavenly recognition begins when you have denied yourself and made a willful sacrifice to submit to the one true king. And all you have to do is believe in his will. And when you believe in his will, 1 Peter 5:4 says, "And when the chief shepherd appears," that chief shepherd being the Lord Jesus Christ, "you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." That's one crown that you're going to get. The crown of glory. And then there's another crown that you're going to receive if you've adhered to being a true disciple, and that's the crown of life. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about that one day, soon and very soon, we don't know the time, but maybe one day soon and very soon, You're going to be in heaven if you've called upon the name of God, not because you attend Sandhill Baptist Church, not because you have a membership, say that you are a member here. That's not why you're going to be in heaven. That's not how you get to heaven. The only way you're going to get there is you confess Him and you say that, God, I am in need of a Savior and I need You to make me new. Take away my old, take away my fleshly desires and give me a spiritual desire. Give me a heart to be fashioned like Yours. My desire is to be like Jesus. That is the only way that you can experience these crowns. The crown of glory, the crown of righteousness, and that crown of life. And 2 Timothy 4:8, what a powerful verse this is. Listen as I read this. It says, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day." But there's an "and" in this verse, and it says, "And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing." Loved His appearing. Think about that for a moment. If you want to close your eyes and meditate on those words for a moment. Think about seeing the Son of God. Will you love His appearance? Will He love your appearance? Will He recognize you as a child of the one true King? Or will you be written down in another book? A book that says that you are not a part of the family of God. And you will not be likened unto His appearance, because you will not be like Him, because you do not know Him, and He will not know you. So while learning to be a true disciple and obeying those three laws, self-denial, being able to submit, those things are so very important. But while you do those things, God's got some more rewards for you. Those crowns, the crown of glory, the crown of life, and that crown of righteousness. You get those things by being obedient. Like I've already said, and like I'm sure you would admit, just getting to heaven is reward enough, don't you agree? Being able to see this man called Jesus face to face, that's enough. But God wants to give you more. He has so many blessings that He can pour into your life here today and forevermore. Now, if you still have your Bibles open, turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 26 and 27. These two verses here are very powerful. Songs have been written about these verses. Some of you younger folks who are sitting here today, you have heard, I'm sure, of Toby Mac, and he wrote a wonderful song in regards to these very verses. I don't want to gain the world to lose my soul. Matthew 16, verse 26 and 27, and these are the words of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says in verse 26, "For what is a man profit? He shall gain the whole world and lose his soul. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And verse 27 reads, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works." You can acquire all the money, the pleasure, power, the fame, the fortune, and still not have joy. You can search, you can try everything man-made, but it will not satisfy. And unfortunately in life, I feel that this is something that really hurts church growth, individual spiritual growth. We wrap our minds around so many things that we need to do, and I use that word "need" very loosely. We wrap our minds around all these things that we feel that we need to do, that we've got to get done so that we can obtain maybe more money, obtain more objects at home, obtain a greater status at work. But in the grand scheme of things, what does it matter? Sure, it may give you some happiness while you're here. But when all you've done is devoted yourself to the flesh, thinking all along that you were saved, then you find out at a time when it's going to be too late. And there'll be no turning back. There'll be no second chance. For every day that God gives you, you are using that chance. And then if you lay your head down at night or you continue on through your life each and every day wondering, am I a sinner saved by grace or am I just a sinner? And you don't confess to the Lord Jesus Christ that you're in need of a Savior. It doesn't matter how much money's in that bank account. It doesn't matter how beautiful your house is, your yard is, your wife is, or handsome your husband is, or beautiful your children are, or how often you even attended Sandhill Baptist Church or any other church. If you haven't learned to know what it means to be a true disciple of God, you're without it nothing. You're lost. God doesn't want that for you. He wants you to call upon the name of the Lord, the only name whereby you must be saved. There will be a second coming of Christ, and it will be a judgment for those who have chosen to follow their own will, their only fleshly desires, and there will be only a reward for those who have taken up the cross. Will you take up your cross today? Have you already taken it? Will you carry it with you each and every day, remembering what that cross represents? That is the bloodshed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, deny yourself. Be a living sacrifice and submit daily to the cross. I pray that you will never grow weary for living for Jesus. I pray that as we look back at 2 Timothy where it says, only but also to all have loved His appearing. I hope that you love His appearing and you cannot wait to see His appearing, knowing that when you do see Him face to face, that you're seeing the Son of God. Understanding and knowing that dying to self is not a one-time crucifixion, but a way of life. I think so many times we don't focus on that. As I mentioned, I believe it was in prayer meeting, you know, we focus on trying to baptize to get our numbers up. But if we don't disciple those young Christians, or maybe even some of those who are older who have confessed to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we don't take time to disciple them, then we could lose them. It's not benefiting God's kingdom. It is not a one-time crucifixion. It is a way of life. You've got to make it a part of your daily routine. Do you do that? I know it's a challenge to be a true disciple, but that is the challenge for you today. I'm challenging you to take grasp of being a true disciple. Not for me, not for yourself, but for the Master. The one who gave it all so that you can enjoy this beautiful sanctuary here today. Even greater than that, that you can enjoy an eternity with our Lord and Savior. Father, we love you. We praise you. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for every individual here. And God, I pray that if there be someone sitting here today, God, who is contemplating whether or not they are a born-again believer in you, God, I pray they don't leave here today without making it known, confessing it to you, God. Not to man, but to you. God, I love you and I praise you. I thank you for what you do at this church each and every opportunity where we meet. Lord, just continue to lead, guide, and direct as you see fit. And I pray that we will learn to be better disciples for you each and every day of our lives. God, we love you and we praise you. Amen.